Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Hamish Hawke, and I am a songwriter and singer based in Edinburgh, Scotland.
You're 31 years old. Your debut record was in 2021. A decade before that, you had CDs and EPs and did gigs.
Yeah.
Formal training. I know nothing. I don't know a thing.
Very, very little formal training. When I was in elementary school, I played Spanish guitar, classical Spanish guitar, for a couple of years. I knew at the end of those 2 years it wasn't really for me. Took it into high school.
We're also disappointed.
I didn't get on too well. Well, it's not that I didn't get on with my guitar teachers at high school. Didn't quite see eye to eye with them. And I think early on when I was learning to play the guitar, I wasn't really aware that you could break off and maybe try and write your own songs or do your own thing. I was trying to learn how to read sheet music, and I was being given these pieces that I wasn't particularly sort of, they didn't really float my boat. And so I hung up the guitar for a little while, and then when I realized you could kind of put together a few chords and make something yourself, that's when I picked up again. Yeah.
So did you make it to uni, or did you never see this is where, none of this is there, nothing?
I went to St. Andrews University.
Right. And what did you study?
I studied international relations, which is sort of politics.
Which is
and
perfect,
philosophy.
By the way, now, because here is South by Southwest.
Exactly.
You can relate to people.
I am relating to people,
you can relate
internationally.
To people, right.
As,
relate
as
to people
we
internationally.
Speak.
Exactly. What happens in a decade between there and us sitting here?
Oh, that's a good question. So It's so funny because at several points in my career, I could have told you different things that have happened. I would have focused on different focal points and said, you know, that thing happened on that day I met so-and-so and they said this and they took me here.
Right, right. And next thing you know, you've got a label deal, but then you don't have a label deal. And then, oh, you've got a manager, but oh, that manager goes away.
And that crumbles. And then maybe a year later, something else happens. Oh, and you were there at the right time, at the right moment, and the right person was there. So I think it's actually a culmination of lots of these different points. I would say where we are now, you know, considering where we're sitting right now, how did I get here? I think it was the release of Heavy Elevator that did it. That was the thing. It was starting to work with Rod in his studio in Edinburgh and Leith, us recording Heavy Elevator. It was us getting this band together in earnest and starting to write songs as a collaborative process. I was very much used to sitting on my bed and writing songs with my guitar or on the keys or something and maybe even at some point feeling a bit proud and feeling like, oh, I should maybe do this off my own back. And songwriting with my current collaborators and bandmates, Andrew Pearson and Stefan Maurice, on guitars and drums.
So that's where you kind of came upon the... So where
the
did
formula,
you, where
as it
did
were.
You run into the Idlewild?
Well, so... So the band and I were invited to play a music festival on the Isle of Iona, which is a very, very isolate little island on the west coast of Scotland. It's off the coast of Mull, which is another island.
I know where Mull is.
Yeah.
I've had Mull Historical Society.
Yeah, very good.
Yes.
So Iona is a really tiny place, and we were invited to play a music festival there called the Iona Village Hall Music Festival. And we performed, I think it was either after our sound check or after our performance, but we were there, and I've seen photos of it recently, and we really do look like children. But we performed, and I walked out the church hall, and Rod Jones of Idlewild was sort of leaning against the wall there, and we just got talking, and he said, oh, you should maybe come down to my studio and we can do some sessions, we'll maybe do a couple of songs or something. And I think at the time...
This is
was
the Hollywood story.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. And I think he said to me, yeah, you should come down for a couple of songs. And I think he was maybe looking for different bands to do that and to record at Post Electric in Edinburgh. And we did that. And the relationship just grew and grew naturally. It started off as this sort of only, you know, an acquaintance and a kind of producer relationship. Then it became something more of a mentor relationship. And then a sort of friend and manager relationship. So it just evolved naturally.
There's expressions that are used about you that I really like. Like getting, and I'm going to do them both in one, getting a sense of vindication and getting the weight of expectation off you. So, you know, basically the first record was a nice intro.
Yeah.
But the second one, it's like, oh, there's like buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And but you're sitting here, and I watched you perform, and I don't think you're going, oh, man, you know what? Guess what? The limo is outside, and I'm just ready to go. So talk to me. You know, we're sitting here in this moment. We're in the pub. We're hanging out. We're next to each other. You introduced yourself as a singer-songwriter. But I watched last night, and by the way, I'll give this to you so we don't have to do it, Magnetic Fields, right? You know, 69 love songs. Know this. I know every single one of them, inside and out. But when you're telling somebody, they're sitting there and says, okay, so what do you do? What is this? How do you actually say to someone, well, I'm not alternative, but I'm not just a singer-songwriter, but when we play live, my guitar shreds like all get out, but then I get these kinetic David Byrne-like looks on my face, and people think I'm going to combust, but it's performance, so I get that.
Yeah.
But how do you tell people? We're sitting here, how do you say, okay, if you listen to my record, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, you caught me red-handed there. Singer-songwriter is one of those things that I'm not
criticizing it, but I don't know what you tell people.
I suppose, yeah, these days I'm a front man. In fact, on the way here, I was asked in the taxi what kind of music I make.
Oh, boy, yeah, we love that, yeah, don't we?
And I suppose I do. I tend to go to the sort of indie signifier or the alternative indie rock. But I think that
that's deceiving.
Yeah, I've always had a lyrical focus, a lyrical center. And I think and that's the world I'm trying to put
look
across.
At that. There it is right there. Asked about lyrics a lot.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I mean, but they are, it's my world of songwriting. I won't say it necessarily always starts with the lyrics, because that's not true. Sometimes I'll, you know, start by strumming a few chords, or I'll get sent a demo with no words over it, and I'll write the words there and then. But the lyrics are the emotional center of my music, and where I feel at home in
the
music.
Well, yeah, and that's
it.
Look, you know, some people are like, well, I compose a song and then I add lyrics to it. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like the weirdest jigsaw puzzle.
And they're never an afterthought for me in that sense, ever. They're the very sort of heart of the song. And if the lyrics aren't there, and if they're not coming, if they don't sort of spring forth from me when I hear when I play the chords or when I hear the demo, if they're not coming, then it's not there. And I'm not going to try and shoehorn something. I'm not going to try and, as much as I do sometimes, try to sit down and sort of put in the graft, as it were, and try to write the song and put myself in the place where I'm going to be productive. I like to work as kind of, not spontaneously, but I mean, said naturally before, I like to work like that and just feel my way through it. The lyrics, it's the be all and end all for me. And I think the reason that the music ends up sounding so varied in a way, there's quite a few genres.
It's kinetic.
I think the reason that the music comes from all different corners is because the thing that I'm using to bind together, the thing that I'm using to bind together all those sounds is the lyrics. So I hope that the albums don't sound, you know, there's quite a few faces to the music.
So when did you know that you know how to write songs? And do you know that you know how to write songs?
Quite honestly, I don't. I could tell you several reasons why most of the songs I write do not fit.
Right, why
don't? It's because when I've been writing songs, I'm never too... sometimes when we're working on a song with the band, we're maybe trying to wring a chorus out of it, or another verse, or a middle eight, as you say, and we want it to be a certain kind of structure. But on the whole, if you go through my music, it doesn't conform all that much to a lot of the, I suppose you would say that, a lot of the general rules of pop songwriting. But I know exactly what you mean by songs. They don't necessarily have to, they don't exist within those confines.
So label, all of that, is the whole package there and ready to rock?
Not really. Well, it's all, we do off our own backs, really. So we have the band, And then we have our very kind managers, Rod being one of the ones you've just met.
But it all is very indie still.
Very much so, yeah. We don't have a label. We're not signed.
The record versus live. Oh my gosh. You really, you know, that band, your guitarist, the guy who's stage, you know, stage right from you, that's a really tight little outfit you've got
I know,
there.
I know, I'm so
It's
fortunate.
A super tight little outfit.
Yeah, we're running a very, I suppose, well, first of all, I'm so glad you enjoyed the show.
Oh, it was a blast. But I'm definitely going to come to the embassy to see you.
Oh, great, great.
Oh, yeah.
We're running a very, it's a very tight ship, but it feels so right for us. You know, everything, I keep going back to this word naturally, but the way the band has grown and the way the project has grown and the way the music has grown, it's all just, you know, it's taking one step at a time, one bite at a time. And it seems to be, yeah, it's sort of earning its way. It's doing all the right things at the right time. You mentioned earlier about expectations. I'm always careful not to keep my expectations. I'm keeping them very, very low. Yeah. And I'm hugely grateful for all of the success we're having because it's just, I suppose it was unexpected. And I've been, you know, I've been doing this for a long time now, for over 10 years. But I've never sought to rush it. Maybe when I was in my early 20s or something, I thought, why am I not being showered in glory? Yeah, where is it all? But it makes me feel so much more grateful now to realize that we have been working at it so long and it's really starting to, there's something bubbling under the surface. I love coming to America. I love being here. And it's certainly, as far as songwriting is concerned, it's pretty much as inspiring a place as I can go, really. I absolutely love it. I get a lot out of being here. But I suppose I try, maybe it's a kind of ignorance is bliss situation. I try not to think above my means. I'm just enjoying it as I go, really.
What goes through your mind on stage? Like, you're doing that last song, and you and the guitarist, there was that connection. And the look on your face, and wherever you were in your brain, you were somewhere. You went somewhere.
When I used to play solo, when I was playing me and a guitar, I used to think that was the sort of authentic version of what I was trying to do. That was the authentic version of performance, the sort of troubadour minstrel
right,
figure
right,
on the
right.
stage that was sort of trying to seduce the audience in a way. That was what I thought was, you know, that's the real thing.
That was the Holy Grail, yeah.
Yeah. And then I started playing with a band. And Andrew, my guitarist and collaborator, he said to me, you know, maybe what you need to try is putting the guitar down and just singing. And it seems so obvious, but I'd never really thought about it before. And I swear to God, that was a turning point where I thought, right, put that down, I don't need that anymore. And so now when I'm on stage and it's just the band and I, and I'm there with just a microphone facing the audience with no barrier in front of me, it used to be that I felt like the authentic thing was the guitar and the vocal, and I could sort of, but I could never take leave of my senses. I was always so focused.
And now
focused.
You have the freedom to do what the hell you want.
And yeah, now there's this freedom. And so you ask where I go in my head. I only go there on stage. I can only reach it on stage. It's this other thing. It's almost like I don't go anywhere. It's like I just leave completely.
You're just in the moment.
I'm in the
moment.
You're
doing what you're doing.
And I struggle to, you know, I say, oh, I just take it as it comes and I just go along for the ride. But I could be quite neurotic and quite a cerebral person. I'm sort of in my head a lot. And so performing...
So it's hard to leave it.
Yeah. Performing is these days especially, that's where I go. It's the place I escape in my head.
Well, I'll tell you what. It works.
Oh, good.
It's really... It's fun. I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.